good news, everyone.
It's Jake Seeley.
And there's a surprise in your cereal box. I'm
great. Everybody else sucks.
Let's get dangerous.
Yes, sir, random kid I just met.
It's time to check the link.
Oh, wait, you serious? Let me laugh even harder.
You know what? You just made the list.
Hooray. People are paying attention to me.
In all in.
Sure, we talk about it all the time.
Really?
No, burn.
What is up, you ducks? It is All in Football Week 13, Fantasy Football Ranks. We are here. It's time to make sure you get into the playoffs. At Chris Meany is with me over at FTN. Is the 40% still going off, or did you miss out? It's only 20% now. Are we back to 20%?
Yeah, we're back to 20, but we could always pull some strings if you reach out and you're looking for a package. But yeah, we're back to 20. Use promo code all in there. And I'm just going to cut you off right now. Before you get going anymore, tee up the show. This is what we're here for. Let's go. Let's all wish Jake a happy birthday. This is your day.
Do we still
do
it at our age?
Yes, we are. It is just a number. We're all getting a little bit older, but it is your day today. So happy birthday, brother.
Well, thank you. And I don't know if you saw, but I actually tweeted out the decorations. My wife, Nicole, she put up, and because it's like I'm turning 10 years old, and she knows me very well. Speaking of never growing up, The Mandalorian and Star Wars and like so.
You got yourself.
I wore this
right
t-shirt for my birthday. You can't even see the bottom part. I'm not arguing. I'm just explaining why I'm right. There you go.
Is that
not like the most perfect t-shirt for
me? Yeah, absolutely. So, that's spot on.
Well, thank you, Meany. I'm actually surprised Nicole didn't yell in the background when I said that. But
great job, Nicole.
Meany says, "Great job, Nicole." As we do that live on the podcast, she said, "Thanks." great start to the show. But yes, we were talking week 13. Got to make sure you are in the playoffs. 20% off. Code all in is what gets it off over at gets it off. That's bad phrasing to start the show. Also, is there anything more all in football and Jake Seeley than terrible phrasing like that? And then of course over the Athletic, you can actually, so the dollar a month is gone, but there are deals, and there's also gift deals where you can buy an entire year for $19.99, which is still less than $2 a month. So there you go. Yeah. Like Christmas gifts or stuff like that. Or you could just gift yourself. Shh. Don't tell anybody.
Yes. Right. Yeah. Do that all the time.
And my friend was like, "How do I get on the 1 year deal? If I've already got a subscription." I was like, "If you can't figure it out yourself, I'm not going to say how to do it. Figure it out yourself." But yes, thank you, everybody, for the birthday wishes. But let's make sure the important stuff. We got to get through week 13. And unfortunately, if you're trying to get into the playoffs and hoping that playoffs were going to come with Jonathan Taylor, they ain't. Yeah, one of the worst timings of all. Jonathan Taylor out with surgery. Anywhere from 2 to 3 to 4 weeks. There's the timetable right there. 13, 14, definitely. 15, maybe. 16, maybe. Best case scenario for us, or I guess worst case scenario, is you don't even get him till the championship game. Actually, worst case is he doesn't even show up for the rest of the year. And they're just for their playoffs. For our playoffs, you might get him for 2 weeks, maybe. So now it's Zach Moss time. Do not be that person. I will ban you from the show. If you're in the comments, I already came for the person on Twitter who said it. Do not come with the "not in my league, Zach Moss, blah, 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 50%. He's not my league. You're stupid if he's in your league." There's a
lot
of people.
But even 50% is half, right? That's too low. Yeah.
It's insane. But people had to do these things. You know, people are sending rosters, and I'm seeing it. Like, congratulations to you and everybody listening to us who have stacked rosters. And Zach Moss ended up being the worst that you could possibly cut, which, again, of course, you know, nobody trades with you. But a lot of teams did have to cut Zach Moss during buys, during other injuries. There are people that didn't get slapped on the IR. There's some leagues that quantify whether it's actual IR or just out being allowed to put on IR. Like, I'm the CBS league with Jamie with the IDP one.
Right.
You can't put them on IR unless they are actually on the IR. So you're kind of stuck. I don't like it. You know me, as many injury spots as you need, because I don't like adding terrible decisions to bad luck. It's not your fault. Yeah. Anyway, that being said, Zach Moss, I already have him top 10. Like, this is, for everybody that doesn't know, I'm going to go back to it real quick. I'm going to pull up the game log because I actually put that in my article this week. So, Zach Moss starting week 2, because it wasn't week 1, if everybody remembers. Yeah. It wasn't him in week 1. But starting in week 2, and then the two games as soon as Jonathan Taylor came back, these were his running back finishes. You ready for this? 10, 4, 21, 2, and 9 in those 5 weeks. In those last two, 2 and 9 were with Jonathan Taylor. After that, even with Jonathan Taylor, 30, 14, 49, 70, which is miserable, of course, but 31. So 4 of those 5 games are usable. Actually, 3 of those 5 were startable in most leagues. Right back inside the top 10. I don't care that he's facing the Titans. Honestly, Meany, like, I have him in the conversation. He told me Achan, which we're going to talk about, is out this week. I think he could be in the conversation of Raheem Mostert and Achan. You want to know why? Because I go like this in my rankings. You ready for this? Mm-hmm. McCaffrey, ETN, Kyren Williams, Kamara, Zach Moss.
Oh,
he's
baby.
Number 5.
I mean, I'm here for it. You mentioned the Titans. He already torched them earlier. He had 23 for $165 and 2 touchdowns and caught 2 passes for 30 yards. It's all about volume. It's, you know, and he's going to get it. He's going to get it. It's also another league too, NFL.com leagues. Like, you weren't able to put guys on IR there either, or like out unless they're physically on IR. So across the board, he was owned. I mean, his ownership is only at 78% in Yahoo. I get it. Like, he's owned in a lot of competitive leagues, but he was still out there in half of the leagues in Yahoo. I saw Chris Towers tweet in CBS that his ownership he's widely available over there in ESPN too. And he's just like the next man up. You know, we've been talking about those kind of guys. Hopefully you stash where you could. And if not, and you're able to get him, then yeah, he's an RB1 based on volume. The Colts have something to play for in the playoffs. And he was catching passes, which I like too. And he caught had 2 catches on 3 targets last week as well. But I could see where people dropped him, like Carolina 7 for 26, 1 for 2 in week 10 against the Pats, and then had the bye. Yeah. So I understand, like, if you moved on from him, but if you got him, you have yourself, I don't want to say a league winner, but you got yourself somebody that if he's your flex, if you're putting him in your lineup as your flex, man, you're good to go here these next couple weeks.
How about the people that are going to be possibly riding to championships on Kyren Williams and Zach Moss? That's going to be goodness. Fun.
Yeah, it's yeah, it's there's a lot of great late round targets, waiver wire stuff like Tank Dell. I know Puka Nacua has been
to
quiet.
To be clear, like, I want to, like, what I just said might have sounded like I was a proponent for zero RB. I'm still not. I'm still not zero RB. Christian McCaffrey was my number one, and people were like, well, I'm surprised you had him over Jefferson. And I didn't expect Jefferson to get hurt. And Jefferson at the time was neck and neck with Christian McCaffrey. Like, he was over 20 points per
and
game.
He would have been.
He would have been right there, too. But, you know, ETN worked. Kamara worked if you waited. Tony Pollard has been frustrating. He hasn't been top 5 like people wanted, but he's worked. I'm trying to think, like, Austin Eckler, probably a little bit of a disappointment. Saquon Barkley, even with the injuries, I mean, he had one bad game with that, but even with the quarterback situation, he's been an RB1. Bijan Robinson is a RB1. He's just not RB2 or 3 like people wanted.
And he may just be at the end of the year, but the problem is the slow start. I tweeted that out. Yeah. I said, Bijan is going to end up finishing as like RB2 or RB3 if this continues. And I had a lot of pushback, which is like, well, I'm going to win consolation brackets because of it. But like, not everybody will. Like, sometimes you can overcome slow starts. It's hard to overcome the injuries like Eckler, like Nick Chubb, like these guys. Especially if you went hero RB, it's really hard to overcome that.
Which is, that's where the cliche thing kind of came in, as hero RB instead of zero RB is the one running back in the first 2 rounds or so. And of course, the other people like Rashad White has worked. So it can go both ways, but this is why. This is like, you get the hero, even if it goes sideways, you target something we talked about in the preseason, is the Rashad Whites of the world, is, you know, like Jahmyr Gibbs rookies, although Gibbs at the time was going way too expensive. But Pacheco, you and I were on Pacheco, names like that. So point being, you can do both. So I didn't want it to sound like I'm like, haha, this is what happens when you don't have to draft running backs, because, I mean, I'm looking at the top 10, there's still a lot of big names in there. And I wanted to talk about the one other one that I brought up in there. So we're on the Zach Moss. Actually, call me crazy, I would play Zach Moss over Tony Pollard. Like, that's, I know the one person is getting all of the work. I know the other person is still splitting. And even though he does finally have some touchdowns, it's still that split with Rico Daddle. Dak Prescott is throwing. You know, Dak Prescott's like the best quarterback in the league since, what is it, week 5?
Yeah, he's getting a lot of MVP buzz from the media this week as well. I mean, yeah, his numbers are great. I mean, his QBR is number 1. His QBR against the blitz, number 1. He's been
Garrett
fantastic. Yeah, I agree. Miles Garrett.
It'll never happen. Defensive player ever top 3.
But I feel like if we're just again, this is a conversation for another day, but most valuable to the team, it's got to be Myles Garrett, right? It has to be Myles Garrett. The Eagles got playmakers on both sides of the football. The Niners have playmakers all over the field, you know, and I'm not crazy about Mahomes this season. But, yeah, Myles Garrett, to me, has been the most valuable player to his team. I mean, the Browns are sitting in a playoff spot with 7 wins, and are they playing Joe Flacco this week? It's I don't know. Like, it's pretty crazy in Cleveland right now. What was I going to say? I forget it.
I don't know.
Dak. Dak, what's important for Dak, just wait, one more thing. Dak, and at 9-1, it may be worth a sprinkle. He hasn't beaten anybody good yet. But if they, like, say they beat the Eagles next week and all of a sudden they're tied for first in the division or they have the division, whatever it is, and they and he the way he finishes up maybe against, I think, Buffalo, I think the Chargers, and there's another tough team in there, the Lions. And if they win out, then he'll get the respect that he deserves. And he has had a really good season.
Well, let's talk about that real quick. And this is completely sidebarring here because I'm not worried about week 13 ranks. But because of that, Philly, Buffalo, Miami, Detroit, those are the next 4 games. Those are all 4 scary offenses. Would you move out from the Cowboys defense? Because here's my answer. This is what I keep telling people.
I do like, have.
If you can get Jacksonville, do it. If you can get Kansas City, probably too late for that. Do it. If you can get defenses like that, if you can get a top 10 defense, yes. But if you're playing, like, drop the Cowboys and take a flyer on, hey, your Eagles. The Eagles' defense has kind of been back and forth in fantasy. Or if it's like, you know, maybe I can go pick up some flyers and play week to week like the Patriots this week and the Chargers next week. Like, those situations, I would just risk and hold the Cowboys because they're that good. But if I could get away from like, a top 10 defense like I was talking about, I would make that swap because that is a terrible 4-game stretch for a defense.
It is. It's actually the toughest remaining schedule for a team. And is Bland going to have a pick six? I don't know. Maybe. Seems like he has one every other game. But the way that they can dial up pressure and get out, like, Tua showed you know us that
You know he has a better receiving season than Quentin Johnston?
My goodness. That's
so and Marvin Mims.
I was actually looking at one of my dynasty leagues last night. I play in a few of them, and I have some shares of Addison. I have some shares of Flowers. But I wish I just, like, stayed true to my rankings in the one league that I have Quentin Johnson. I was just like, you know what? I'll take Quentin Johnson in this one because I did Flowers. I did Addison. It's like, you know what? I wish that I just did Flowers. It's way too early to write him off, but what a massive gap at the moment between Addison, Flowers, and then to Johnson.
Everybody else.
But, well, yeah, the Cowboys will dial up some pressure. I would play them. I think what you said is perfect with some of those average defenses in good spots, but the way that they can dial up pressure and make life difficult for Tua, who hasn't shown us that he can deal with pressure in his face, and the way that some of those playmakers are just making plays, I think you just roll them out.
So then let's talk about that game. Seattle is in Dallas. Likely no Kenneth Walker. So first part. What are you doing with Zach Charbonnet? This is unfortunately for Zach Charbonnet, it's like, here's your chance. You get to face terrible defenses. Good luck, buddy. This is like, talk about, this is basically what Arizona did with Clayton Toon, like, but not intentionally. So I have Zach Charbonnet still as a fringe RB too. He's right in the conversation with Jerome Ford and Joe Mixon, who we need to talk about in a second. For upside, I'd even consider Achan, but you can't wait on that decision because you have to wait for Thursday Night Football. So Charbonnet, does he even make the RB2 list? For, I feel like he kind of has to, even though there's only Barkley and Josh Jacobs that are definitive top 10, top 15 running backs this week. What do you do with Charbonnet? Do you start him against Dallas? Do you start? Here's one. Charbonnet or A.J. Dillon with the assumption that it looks like it's no Aaron Jones again?
I think I would go with Charbonnet there. I really do like what's happening with the Green Bay Packers over the past couple weeks, but I think I would take Charbonnet. They're both in the same range for me, low on RB2s. I think the only guy that I have ahead of him in your rankings, and maybe I'm just buying into last week too much, is Najee Harris. I would start both Steelers against the Arizona Cardinals. Yeah, and I actually have Najee ahead of Jalen for the first time in a while. Yeah.
All right, well then,
just a touch.
Pause. We're going to come back to that. Yeah. But
more run closed out the game, looked better. Yeah, we'll get back to it.
Well, I was gonna say, so were they both over AJ Dillon or both over both?
Both over both. Yeah, I'm looking right now. I have them
so
all.
So you go
Harris,
Warren, Charbonnet, Dillon.
Yep, just like that. Okay. I'm a little bit worried about Achan. Like, I don't know if people should just play him because of the couple games that he looked awesome. I think that. If you're an owner,
here's what I said.
I want him to sit a week.
Achan returns. Raheem Mostert's still an RB1. I'm not knocking him at, like, no, I would knock him down from like 7 to maybe 10 or 11.
but he's still an RB1.
But he's and still the guy over Achane too.
I have Achane as a fringe RB2 with upside, but risk. This is like boom or bust. Like you could get Achane RB1. You could get Achane last week and be like, oh man, that sucked. Even if he plays the full game, you could get Keaton Mitchell of what we saw two games ago, and everybody's like, what the hell? I thought Keaton Mitchell was going to be fun. I'm like, dude, he's only going to get 8 touches. Like that's what happens. Yeah. That's the downside. If there is no Achane, I say Jeff Wilson is an RB3.
I think I agree.
Okay. So yeah. I'm with you. I think Achane's risky. I have him just as a fringe RB2. Actually, he's 24, mostly because he's also facing Washington, which let's talk about that game real quick, and then we'll come back to the Steelers. I love some Sam Howell. Love him. Like, I am all over some Sam Howell this week, if you can, because he's going to throw 50 bajillion times. This is against the Dolphins. This is exactly what you want. Something I started doing this week, I kind of wish I would have thought about this earlier in the year, but I started looking at two different things. I was looking at teams for scoring differential throughout the game for the first. You know how this happened? It happened because everybody started talking about that the Eagles are 5-0 when losing at halftime, and they're the only team to do that. Nobody else even has an over 500 record. And then it started getting me thinking as like some game scripts of like point differentials at halves and stuff like that. And so I was actually looking at this. The Dolphins have the 8th highest point differential in the first half, plus 30, right? Still top 10, not best, not Cowboys, but it's up there. Commanders are 5th lowest, minus 62. What does that point to? A lot of passing, which is why I think Antonio Gibson's an interesting play, which I want. This is where I was going with this. Antonio Gibson or Achane? Because I think that's a conversation you could have yourself, because I feel like that's floor versus ceiling, and you could argue that Gibson's the better play given what he was doing even before this.
Yeah, you could. And one thing I will say is Miami's defense, I mean, at the start of the season, they gave up so many plays and passing yards, and it made sense, right? Because they just score so many points, and teams are chucking on them, like you just said. But over the past couple of weeks, like ever since Jalen Ramsey came back, it's been one of the better secondaries in football with Ramsey and Xavier Howard. They're making plays, and I think that may benefit a guy like Gibson. I think it may benefit a guy like Curtis Samuel. I don't know how much we should buy into the 12 targets, 9 grabs, 100 yards, but he may actually be...
You're going where I was going next.
He may actually
Are you worried about Terry McLaurin?
Yes, I am worried about Terry.
And then would you play Curtis Samuel, who is essentially, we said it for a long time. I was saying Michael Thomas is Curtis Samuel, is DeMario Douglas. Yeah. Like, they're the same guys. They're all, like, I guess Michael Thomas is hurt now, but they're all that 3-4 guys who are going to get you 5 for 60-something every single week. There might be a little variance in between there, but solid plays. But that's the bigger one I want to talk about. As much as we can like Sam Howell, like Antonio Gibson, I have concerns for Brian Robinson. Like, I knocked him down because this can go sideways. So I actually have Brian Robinson at 19. He's mid to low RB2. And then Terry McLaurin was the one that I had the biggest problem with, because let's talk about this at wide receiver. By the way, I see a lot of comments this week. We're going to do some questions towards the end, so if you stick around, because we're at that time of year where a lot of the stuff, I'm kind of picking out the bigger news stuff. You know this at point. We're not going to be like, do I play Nico Collins? Bad matchup. Like, you're playing Nico Collins anyway. But that's actually kind of my point where I was about to go, Meany. This is a terrible week for wide receiver. Like, wide receiver, I'm going right down this list. And I get Deebo Samuel at 12 against your Eagles because slot wide receiver should do some damage. I like Ayuk still, actually almost back-to-back for me. But as soon as you get to 13, your boy, Devonta Smith, against the 49ers, and what if Goddard's back? That ruins him. I mean, it's not going to be like, don't play him. But here's where we're going after this. Ja'Marr Chase, hurt. Like, not hurt, but like he's playing through pain. And he has Jake Browning, and he's got the Jaguars. Nico Collins against the Broncos, who've been playing great defense. Puka Nacua, who's fallen off, gets the Browns. Hopkins, okay, cool. Sutton, okay, cool. Cooper Kupp, hurt. Browns. Yeah. McLaurin, potentially Jalen Ramsey. Garrett Wilson, his quarterback's trash. Adam Thielen, hasn't done anything in weeks. Christian Kirk. I mean, like, you see what I'm going with? Is like, as soon as you get past 12, it's like, oh my God. Like, can we just rank all of them at the same spot from 13 to 40? I don't know. Like, it's a bad week to figure out wide receivers.
And not just that. I mean, Flowers finally had a good game. You can't play him. Diggs has got the bye. DJ Moore's got the bye. Davante Adams, you know, Addison. It's like, it's a lot of good wide receivers that are on bye. So you could, I mean, Chris Olave may not play this week due to a concussion. He was on.
I don't think
like
he does because it's a
targets.
Second concussion. Like, if there was a chance, we've only had two. We've talked about Brock Purdy. And then the other one, which we were shocked that he actually came back and played, that I can't think of who it was, but there.
I don't know. I always think of
there was somebody
Adams
that like
we.
I was surprised that he came back. And he actually came back on a 6-day week instead of a 7. Anyway, point being, this is Olave's second concussion, and I'm just going
Madison.
To. Oh, it was Madison. You're right. There you go. Is this? I'm going off Twitter doctors on this one as I'm blooming here. Woo! Jesus coming for me. Goodbye. See you guys.
Fading into the
sun. I'm out on my birthday. As Barkley comes over here. Is that the second concussion? I don't think it's Olave. And Rashid is already doubtful. So we're looking at A.T. Perry. So I'm with you on that. No Olave.
Yeah, A.T. Perry. I don't know, man. I can you even trust him? Is he going to get
I have A.T. Perry
targets?
At 44.
Yeah. Some Saints buddy of mine started sending me videos of Lynn Bowden. I was just like, get out of here. Like an end around
from the
here.
Dolphins or the Raiders?
It was the Raiders key at an end around carry last week. And I was just like, oh, wow. I forgot about him.
New Debo Samuel.
I think Curtis is a decent, especially in PPR leagues. I think he's it seems risky, of course, especially if you need wins. Like, oh, you're rolling up Curtis Samuel. Are you chasing on last week? But I think everything applies. I think the analysis is right, and I think he's worthy of a flex play.
All right, well, here, I was going to do some toss-ups. Make it more difficult for you. Because it's my birthday, I'll do whatever I want. We're going to make it a double toss-up for you. You ready? So I'm going to do Samuel and Perry versus... So you don't have to say they're both better or they're both worse. I mean, you could just basically rank the three every single time. But I know you have Perry behind Samuel.
I do.
But let's put all these names in. Perry, Samuel, and Justin Watson.
So what? Like just kind of rank them?
What would be your favorite of the three?
I think Samuel would be my favorite of the three. I know I was really pumping Watson's tires last week. Thank goodness he had a touchdown. I thought for sure he'd have a couple grabs. He still had a few targets, but it was really nice to see Rashee Rice just get fed. And hopefully that continues. So
this is the kind of week we're talking about. I have Rashee Rice all the way inside the top 30.
Yeah, let's go. It's time now, right? We've been talking about him as a stash. Hold him, flex play when you can. Some of the matchups are great. Yak Monster, touchdowns, and getting red zone targets. And I just wondered why they didn't give him the ball more, and maybe that was a sign of things to come down the stretch. He could actually be a league winner with Mahomes needing somebody to step up. I think Perry's so risky, but I don't know, man. Like, who's gonna catch passes there?
Taysom Hill.
Yeah, I mean, Taysom Hill's
take all the Taysom Hill overs.
Maybe you're starting two tight ends this week if you have a top five tight end and you have Hill.
You can honestly start two tight ends from the Saints, Juwan Johnson and Taysom Hill.
Yeah, you can't.
You talk about who's going to catch passes. Oh,
Kamara's going to catch a bunch. And
I was looking yesterday. I was actually annoyed. I'm like, I'm looking for a touchdown prop in Juwan Johnson. Like,
yeah.
I'm like, put it out there.
not out yet, I don't think, but it's probably going to be a pretty good one, 5-1.
I guess. I don't know. I'm going to slap that together with some Derrick Henry, by the way. Yeah. Derrick Henry, just so you know, I don't know, just randomly while we're talking about him, we're going to come back to this, but I want to go back to the stat that I found out for Derrick Henry. And, of course, it makes sense because he has touchdowns in this game, but the yards have also been there. So in games with a rushing touchdown for Derrick Henry, 22 fantasy points per game. Without, 7.4. Now, the math doesn't add up. It's not just – that's actually a 15-point difference? That's over two touchdowns difference. So it's not just the touchdown. Point being, here's the good news. Colts – 11 rushing touchdowns to running backs, fifth most in the league, by the way. So Derrick Henry, I like that one too. To come back to this, A.T. Perry, Curtis Samuel, or George Pickens?
You know what? I'm going to go Pickens. I'm going to take the ceiling of Pickens with those two guys. There wasn't a huge amount of difference in the Steelers' offense. Of course, they had 400 yards for the first time in 59 games, but they did have six plays of 20-plus yards. They threw the ball in the middle of the field.
Most of those came from Warren Harris.
Most of them were Pat Freiermuth, right, in the middle of the field. But I did see a couple shots down the field to Pickens, which I liked seeing, and it is against Arizona. So I'll risk that one. I see Kyle with the question, and the other one is down. Like, I know we'll get to them later on. I do like downs over both of those guys. But I would lean with the ceiling here of – I do feel – at the same time, I feel like Pittsburgh will just run all over Arizona. But I'm going to go with Pickens.
Okay. Then let's see if we can get any more and then move on to the next piece here. How about – oh, here's one. Thursday night, you have to make this decision. Brandon Cooks, Curtis Samuel, or A.T. Perry?
And I really like where Cooks is headed. Finally. Like from Cooks. I know. I was ripping him on this show for – what are we doing? Holding on to Cooks, not doing anything. But over the last 5 weeks, you talked about Dak. He's fighting the end zone. man, Dak's playing some really good football, taking some shots. I'm going to go with Brandon Cooks in that spot. Yeah, I think the ceiling is kind of high. I think there's more touchdown equity potentially, like an upside for him to score. Curtis Samuel, like, I don't know. You need like some sort of end around in the red zone or something. Like, you take a shot.
So last
Cooks.
One. Here we go. Last one. A.T. Perry, Curtis Samuel, which I just feel like Perry's not the answer to any of these. So Perry Samuel, Samuel Perry. Samuel Perry sounds cooler. Samuel Perry or Christian Watson.
Oh, man. Is he back? Is he here? I don't know. Is he going to get Sneed?
I don't know.
I don't know if he's back. I'd love to see him back. He's probably going to win me a bunch of consolation brackets again this year. My goodness. I held on to him in a few spots. Of course, he was on my bench last week.
I just love it.
I don't really want to start him. I don't know. Like, it's hard to really project what you're going to get from Christian Watson. But Jordan Love is playing really good football. I still like Jaden Reed more than Christian Watson. He's had 18 touches over the last couple games. He's getting some end arounds.
Backfield.
Yeah, so I would play him. I think he's safer. But you saw the ceiling on full display last week. This is why, you know, we liked Christian Watson. Like, he's a touchdown threat. He's got sneaky speed, a big body. That first play of the game, okay. On Thanksgiving, well, they took a shot to him down the field. I think I'd play him over A.T. Perry.
A.T. Perry? I'll give you A.T. Perry. But I don't know if I'll go Chris Samuel. Would you start him over Romeo Doubs?
I would.
I go Reed, Doubs, Watson.
That's what I did last week, and then I didn't see a whole lot.
Here's your argument. Okay, no, I know, I get it. Which is, this is the chasing your tails, and basically the situation of past years with running back situations in like the Dolphins and the Bills and teams like that, which isn't the case anymore. But here's the thing. First game this year with over three receptions. First one. He didn't have three receptions. He didn't have four. This is first. He had five in this one. He didn't even have four the rest of the
year.
It was only his second game with over 37 yards.
Yeah.
He had 91 in week two and then 37 the rest of the year. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
I'm not ready to buy
every
him
snap.
Yet.
I know. I've watched every snap, and part of it has been on Love. He's underthrown him several times. But, yeah, it's just the one game. Plus, this Kansas City defense is absolutely legit. And if he has to deal with Sneed, that's a no-go for me.
I actually expect
that's what he did to AJ
last week. Yeah,
he did. But he didn't. Yeah, I know. It was a weird game from him. And he wasn't fully on Adams. But they made it a case for him to fall around AJ Brown. It's almost like, you know what, Adams, you can do whatever you want. You're not going to win this game anyways. Like, so it's
I'll be
good.
Curious to see who's got – you know what? That might be something to go back. But, tune in later this week when I might update the rankings. Well, I will update the rankings. I'm going to go back and then watch some more snaps over the past couple weeks to see who plays the deepest in this kind of scenario, because that would be the Christian Watt. Is it Sneed or is it somebody else? That's worth watching.
I think it might be Sneed.
Because these are some of the things you can like watch the games and kind of I wasn't really paying attention to that aspect. Let's quick rapid fire through some of these running backs. So we can get to questions, like I said, for everybody, because I do want to help out some questions. These are some easy decisions. Stevenson, don't even talk about it. He's finally rolling. This is Steven season is here, finally. Just go ahead and start him.
Took some time. Yeah.
Yes, it did. Here's the question.
Chargers
running back.
Brutal, my goodness.
Oh, I know. It's so good. Like, I had Stevenson at 15. I'm like, I kind of want to put him higher. But the problem is Pacheco, Henry, David
I like
Gunner,
where you have him.
Bijan.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
How am I still the highest on David Montgomery?
Yeah, I people just don't like Montgomery, but it's like every week, like he just scores and he's the lead. It's is what it is. Man.
You want
like,
this
Gibbs
stat?
Looks better, but Montgomery's on the field.
Well, it's not even just them; it's the freaking Lions' offense, offensive line. Because here's what you get: David Montgomery. This is like beyond absurd. So, yards after contact for David Montgomery is 4.3. That's best in the league, only behind Keaton Mitchell somehow. I mean, when you rip up a bunch. But Jalen Warren's at 5.0, by the way. Jahmyr Gibbs is 21st at 3.0. And the part of like, so for yards after contact aren't always the running back. It's not always off the line. It's both because, you know, these grades that you get yards after contact, I guess not a grade, but the stat. Like, if I slap my arm against your chest, that might be an attempted tackle to some people, and some people might not be. You know, really squaring up is going to be a difference. You know, if you get the offensive line doesn't do a lot for you and you get squared up and you hit the dude head on, good chance you're not breaking that tackle. If they're open in lanes so they only get an arm on you, good chance you are. But here's where I wanted to go the other way. They're tied for first. Montgomery and Gibbs are tied for first in the league. This is an insane number. Think about this. They're averaging 2.5 yards before contact.
Yeah.
Before. Like, yeah. Joe Mixon averaged 2.2 yards per carry last week.
Yeah.
They got 2.5 yards before they were even touched on the season. This is insane.
It is insane. And it's like the Najee stat that we talked about on Sirius on our show on Saturday was like Najee's getting hit behind the line 34% of the time on like early downs. Like that stuff is wild to me.
Yeah.
And it's like everyone's so hard on Najee, and I get it. Warren looks better, he looks fresher. But the offensive line is key. It's like Carolina. I want to give a little bit of a pass to Bryce Young at times because he is just hit too much. If you don't have an offensive line that can give you some time to move the football, to run the rock, Detroit's got one of the better offensive lines in football, and it does create – like, Montgomery doesn't look fantastic. He would – like, he – on if you put him on the Bears or you put him on the Panthers
– You swap Najee Harris for David Montgomery, we're talking about Najee Harris as a top 10, top 12 running back.
He would have 10 touchdowns and, yeah, over 1,000 yards. Yeah,
I keep making so many apologies for Najee Harris. Like, again, I don't – Jalen Warren's better. I just don't think Najee Harris is as trash as people want him to be. Like, people
I don't
just
want
to like kick him out of the league. And be like, somebody was like, I need to buy you a Najee Harris Funko Pop. And I'm like,
hey,
man,
he had 99 yards last week and 15
I
carries.
Know.
Like, it's a pretty good game for him and an encouraging game if you're a Steelers fan.
It is.
Is All this right, the so lowest you ranked Eckler? I mean, you're playing him, but this is the lowest I think I've ever ranked him.
Yeah, and that's why I'm not
feel
even
good really... putting him in my top 10.
No, I know you're asking, but I'm like running through, like, even Eckler. I mean, you could make an argument he should be behind both Lions. You can make an argument
like,
behind
what
Bijan
if you
this...
didn't have a flex spot and you had Kyren and Zach Moss?
You're benching Austin Eckler.
Oh, my God. Sometimes,
like, you got to take the name off. You got to, like, I mean, I'm literally
I got bad
list.
Vibes about him too. I wonder if he's going to just step away or they shut him down because he wants a contract, right? He's not playing through any, and I know he's not 100%.
And that's the thing. He doesn't look right the past 2 weeks.
Exactly.
So I think, you know, you could make an argument he should be lower more. So like the Derrick Henry conversation about the touchdown, like if he doesn't score, it's probably going to be a miserable game because even with two touchdowns last week, what, he still have like 70 yards on like a boatload of carries? So I think Eckler kind of in that conversation. Way to make me think even more about Austin Eckler. But anyway, to come back to this, the Falcons situation is more, I want to talk about a couple of these. Tyler Allgeier, how playable is here? Because here's one. So now to go back to the stats that I was pulling up. The other one I thought that I went down this rabbit hole and I got interested with, and I actually included this with a couple teams because there was a couple outliers that I was like, ooh, this is interesting. It's the difference in carries, yards per carry, and yards per catch, and yards per attempt, all these yards. All those when you're up by 7 or more, so up by a touchdown or more, or when you're down by 7 or more. Because a lot of those assumptions come into play. They're going to pass. The reason I went down this rabbit hole is actually Joe Mixon. I was worried that Joe Mixon in bad game scripts wasn't going to get carries. And it turns out Joe Mixon's almost dead even. Like, it just... So, still concerning, because we just saw how miserable it could be last week with Jake Browning. But his touches don't really vary very, very much. Very, very much. So I was kind of looking at this plus 7, minus 7 because we have these assumptions for game scripts and like this. So to go to this one with the Falcons, so they're very run happy when we know when they're close or leading. Bijan Robinson actually averages almost 2 more yards per carry when they're up by a touchdown or more. It's the 8th biggest gap to when being down by 7 or more of all running backs. This also comes into play with Tyler Allgeier. Allgeier is actually almost even, but his touches go up when they're up by 7 or more. So is Allgeier in play as a solid RB3, potentially even RB2 if you know you're getting floor?
Flex. I don't know if I go as high
flex?
As 2, but flex. My one thinking is like how much is they're definitely going to be in the game. I don't know if they're going to be
That's
leading
the point.
By significantly, but yeah, to your point. They're not going to be down by more
Tyler
than
Tyler Allgeier or Devin Singletary.
I would play Singletary. Mm. I'll play Singletary. Yeah. Broncos. I know the Broncos have turned the corner a little bit defensively. Certainly have. But I would play Singletary. I see your point. I think he's a flex play.
Allgeier or Connor? Now that Michael Carter's taken 40% of the work. Well, I'm assuming it's going to bump up a little bit. It was like 35 in this first real game.
I still think I'd play Connor.
Really?
Connor there. Yeah. I mean, you could get an ultra touchdown. That's the best thing. What do you get? 10 carries, maybe he gets 40 yards and a touchdown.
Our boy from last year. We rode Algier to championships last year.
Did we ever, man? 1,000 yards and like 200 touches. I mean, he's a good back. He really is a good back. I think that they've made the switch, officially made the switch, but if they are up in this game, which they probably will be, even though it's, you know, the Jets defense is really good, they'll probably lean on Algier to close up the game. I have seen that, just like you said. But okay, it's not so enough for me to play with confidence.
The one to go back to before we talk some wide receivers and then some questions for everybody is I was surprised that I wasn't lower than a lot of people than I originally thought I would be when I ranked Joe Mixon at 23. I was expecting that to be like super low compared, and apparently a lot of people are on the same page because this is pretty indicative of a lot. And I'm looking right behind him, and I think there's a case to be made for your Steelers. I promise we're coming back to
I'll
it.
Take them.
I know I'm taking Warren over Joe Mixon, but would you go Najee Harris? Well, see, that's the difference. Yeah. I guess you're going both because you have Harris over. Explain your argument for Harris over Warren real quick, by the way.
It's a little bit of what I saw last week, but it's also I still feel like he's the goal line back. I think this is still a split. It's a split. Warren looks better, but the lead seems to be Najee. Warren put the ball on the ground last week, and Najee got more carries. He closed out the game for them. This is a good spot for both of these running backs. I think it's going to continue to be a split. They're both going to get double digit carries. They had the exact same amount of carries.
Do
it
in Admiral Akbar voice. It's a split.
What we've seen is what we're going to get. But I think like the change, the switch with the OC has opened up this offense just a little bit more. And I think, you know, having Pat Freiermuth there does help things a little bit for both running backs. So that the biggest reason is when they're inside the five, I think Najee's getting the ball.
I'm trying to I'm pulling this up right now to see what your truth is behind. I'm pulling up the Pittsburgh Steelers goal line and goal to go attempts while you were talking just to see. Do you want only week 12 or do you want on the season? Because I'm curious.
Well, I want on the season.
You want on the season? All right, let me X out all the weeks. Thank you, True Media, for this. Okay.
Yeah.
So goal to go, rush attempts. What would be your guess? I'll tell you there's 10 for the team. What would be your guess on that split?
My guess is Najee has six.
Nope.
More? Try again. Less. Doesn't
have
I'm
less. Not even going to tell you. I'm just going to say nope. I'm just going to say.
He's got 8.
9. He's Warren has 1.
Most of them. I knew that. Why am I second guessing myself? I know he's got a bulk of them. 90%.
How about goal line rush, which for everybody out there, the differentiation between that is goal to go is 10 to go. Like, I'm not trying to talk down anybody. Yeah. Some people might not know. Goal to go is inside the 10. Goal line is inside the 5. So what do you think the split? There's 5 for the team. This should be an easy one to guess because
he's
I just told you. No, 4-1. It's 4-1. So
I did see Jalen have 1. I did see I can picture the 1 touchdown that he had inside the red zone, but I think it was 2 of them, 1 inside the 10 and then another one I thought was just right around the red zone and he ran it in and he looked so good. And I was like, "Oh no, he's never touching the field again." But hey, both of these guys.
All right. And it's against Arizona, so there's your point there. All right, wide receivers real quick for Thursday night football. How far down are you going with DK Lockett? DK Lockett. There you go. DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett.
If they were together, I don't know if they'd be a wide receiver 1 for me this week. I don't think so.
If they were together, they still might not be a wide receiver 1 on the seat. I'm curious on their.
This is what I'm saying.
What are their points per game? Oh, now you got me looking at something like stupid random. That's not even going to make sense or matter to anybody. DK Metcalf is at 10.7. Tyler Lockett is at 9.9. So 20.6. They'd still rank behind Tyreek Hill. There you go. Even if you combine DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett, they're still the only second best wide receiver in all of fantasy.
I have these guys as wide receiver 3s. I would play DK more over a Lockett. I think there's a
actually they're 3 the if you include down. The before the game Jefferson got hurt.
Just include JSN in there too, and they're still just close to Tyreek Hill.
All right, so in all seriousness, are you benching them?
I would play DK. Here's one. I try to think of what other options you have.
Same game.
Rice is somebody I talked about, and I would play him over
Brandon
both.
Cooks versus DK Metcalf versus Tyler Lockett.
I would play Brandon Cooks over Lockett.
Lockett, I agree. Would you go Brandon Cooks? You just brought him up over Rishi Rice, Rishi Rice over Lockett and Rishi Rice over DK Metcalf.
I would play Rishi Rice over both of these guys. Yeah, I think certainly over Lockett if you want to play.
How about
DK,
Josh Downs?
I get it. Josh Downs, I would play over Lockett. I may play DK there. Yeah, it's probably the correct answer. I mean, I really like seeing all those targets he got last week. He didn't catch a ton of them. But what we said, Minshew throws the football to two people, basically. Steichen had a, drew up a really nice play there to one of the tight ends that they have. But it's both – it's really just two guys, man. It's Pittman and it's Downs. I'm worried about Seattle. Like, this is a team that can go in and upset. They usually upset some squads. They hang around, but 8-point, 9-point dogs. Geno's not 100%. They don't have their starting running back. It's going to be another tough game for them.
Okay, well, we already hit on a lot of names that we were gonna talk about at wide receiver. Here's one, though, for you. Cooper Kupp. I already saw, like, I have him at 19, barely inside my top 20, but this is Cooper Kupp. Like, we know he's not 100%, but what if he's closer this week? Stafford, before the injury, like, was going to him. You know, he wasn't hitting every single game, but he was going to him more than Nacua still. So Kupp is at 19. He's behind Nacua for me. I have Nacua at 16.
That's fair.
I don't love it against Cleveland either, although Cleveland's been more beatable as of late, even in the run game, surprisingly. They're still dominant against the run, but they've been more beatable, at least in the run. But they've actually been somewhat beatable in the past. Yep. Would you go Cooper Kupp at 19, or do you think, given all the concerns and the matchup, he should be lower? Like Christian Kirk, who's been solid. Josh Downs. What do you have, like 12 or 13 targets last week?
Yeah, like, that's a ton of targets.
Like, how far would you, like, is Cooper Kupp in a good spot, or would you slide him down?
No, I think it's fair. I was certainly wrong about him last week. I say that, but he definitely wasn't a decoy like we discussed on the series show. He played, and he was in motion and running routes, even them being up two scores in the fourth quarter. So I was like, he's fine. Like, he's battling through this. He got hurt. He re-hurt the ankle, I think, on the first or second play of the game on a pass. And I thought, uh-oh, like, maybe he's just going to sit this one out. They taped up his ankle, and then he got back out there. Like, he played, but you're right. He's not 100% mixed in with this matchup. I think it's fair where you have him. I have him as a wide receiver, too, as well. Okay. It's really tough to sit him, given the upside. I would play Ja'Marr Chase over him. I'm just looking ahead at guys and try to make a case for any of the – and all the guys that you have in front, like
– Here's – look. I know we've said it a million times, and I'll say it again for everybody out there. I know this sounds like I'm trying not to make the answer, but it is truth. It's the same thing I've said time and again. If you can live with Cooper Kupp getting 20 on your bench because you felt like it was the right decision, and you're like, you know what, he got 20, this is what happens. I just couldn't risk it. I can't risk it like having last week happen again. If you can live with that, do it. If you're going to see that 20 on your bench and be like, son of a, like, why did I ever question Cooper Kupp? Then don't do it. And it comes down to yours. Like, and there's some leagues where I don't have Cooper Kupp anywhere. Because I somehow missed on him, even though we were high on him. And waiting, I think there's the wait, and depending on who I was drafting at that point. I don't know. I just somehow didn't get Cooper Kupp anywhere. Point being, there are some leagues where I could look at it and be like, you know what? I was in on Nico Collins. I picked up Tank Dell and and I could look at it and be like, you know what? I don't have a team where I need to risk it. So, like, I think you can make that case.
Yeah.
Two more before questions. One isn't even a question for us. I'm just going to point this out. I said it on the waiver show meeting. This is the last chance. Last chance. Like, 2 weeks ago, Thielen had a good game. But if Bryce Young and Adam Thielen can't do it this week against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who everybody in the – like, I'm pretty sure you and I could throw about 20 yards against them. I mean, it might take, like, 75 pass attempts to get there. And we might need, like, Jerry Rice, Terrell Owens – and like somebody like AJ Green in the slot or something, like, to get the 20 yards. It might take that, but we could do it against that Buccaneers defense. We would get there at some point. It should happen. Thielen, I'm okay having him as a wide receiver too this week, but here's the last one. He is ranked for me at 38. Should he be lower? Drake London against Sauce Gardner. Like,
I don't want
to. I'm almost like thinking about, like, do they even try to pass in this game? Like, because you can run on the Jets, you can't throw on them. And who's Sauce Gardner going to go after? I know he doesn't follow, but, I mean, you can't get Drake London away from him that much.
Right, and even Reed on the other side, if it's Reed that's on him, is pretty good. So I don't want to start him at all.
Curtis Samuel or Drake London.
I would play Curtis Samuel over him. I'm trying to see other guys behind him that don't feel great about.
Joshua Palmer, if he's back, I'm starting him. No question.
Joshua Palmer, yes.
He would be inside the top 30. I'm looking right now. Brandon Cooks, Tyler Lockett. I would play him over Lockett. So he'd probably be close to top 30. Would you go, if there is no Joshua Palmer for one more week, Jalen Guyton or Drake London?
I may just take London there. But even the other guys that you have,
Tutu, like, Atwell?
I can't even make a case for them. I can't make a case.
Tyler Boyd?
No.
Jake Browning might throw 200 yards.
Jerry Jeudy, maybe? Definitely not. Elijah Moore, no. Watson. I may play Watson.
I told you the wide receiver was gross this week.
I probably play Watson over him because, man, he does have a couple scores. Like, I think he's got back-to-back games now with a touchdown. Even if it's just one or two catches, those seem to come inside the red
Justin
zone.
Justin Watson. Here you go. For him to score. Justin Watson, Jalen Hyatt. Just take the over on yards every single week because it takes two catches for them.
Hyatt's trending up. I'd like to see him getting some looks and targets. And you know another guy that I don't think I'm fully there, I want to see it one more week, is Jameson Williams is also trending up. I think there was back-to-back weeks where he played over 60% of the snaps. And then it went down. But I did see a couple targets for him on the 2-minute drill. He may have been. Because
it went way down last week.
Yeah.
He was behind Khalif Raymond last week.
Yeah, he was. Khalif Raymond was... I mean, he had a really good game, and there was a good drive, I think, late in the third quarter where they just really went to him, and I think maybe they rode the hot hand there. But Jameson, I saw for the first time, it wasn't just, you know, a 35, 40-yard deep shot for him. He actually found a way to give him a bubble screen and, like, a quick out route. So maybe he's trending up. Maybe it's worth a stash. We'll see.
Okay. Some questions before we get out of here.
Yeah.
That's my birthday gift to you. We're asking, okay. We're answering questions live on the show. Usually we don't get to these. We'll try to rapid fire some of these. Thank you for the birthday wishes. I see them. Nobody knows how old I am, and that's going to stay that way. Pick two to start. Mixon, Charbonnet, Singletary, Pacheco. Oh, that probably felt good at some point of the year. But Pacheco,
I mean,
for sure.
Pacheco, like, yeah.
I go Pacheco and Charbonnet. I don't want to start Joe Mixon. I know, as crazy as it sounds, like, I just...
Yeah, I'm with you. Trash. I'm with you. I thought about Singletary there for a second, but
No.
I'm gonna go with Charbonnet.
As soon as Damian
Pierce,
I told you that last week. I told you it was done. Three from Kyron, Eckler, Pollard, and Mostert. I'm not even answering that question. Your team's too good, jerk.
Sit Eckler, believe it or not.
It's the truth though.
Yeah, it is. Like, you're rolling, man. You got four backs. I would honestly sit Eckler. It's not an easy feeling, but yeah, and you can't sit Mostert either. This guy scores every game. Every game he's finding the end zone. I'm playing.
Mr. Nice Guy. I don't know why you have to choose between, like, why is it Sam Howell and Dotson or Samuel and then Baker or Godwin? Why not Sam Howell and Godwin? Or Sam Howell and Samuel? Go with the Sams. And Samuel.
Yeah, I agree. Samuel over Dotson.
I need a good Sammy. But I'm not going to have it for that.
I'm pretty hungry.
Yes, drop Rashawn Johnson for Tyler Allgeier. Do it. He's on a bye. And there's a that's turning
and then
into
Foreman's
a
coming back.
I know. That's a full blown committee. Charbonnet versus Warren. We said Warren. That's easy there. I already know that. Here's a good question. Are you owning two defenses already? Yes, if I can. Because outside of like about two or three, there's nobody else that you can really roll through the rest of the season. Do not do it at the sacrifice. Like, I brought this up on the waiver show, meaning I'm not holding a second defense over Elijah Mitchell. This is the time. Could you imagine if Christian McCaffrey gets hurt this week? I don't want to put that out there, but like Christian McCaffrey, Tajay Spears, Gainwell, your boy Zeke, if Stevenson gets hurt, just because we know that he's going to be the guy, Dowdle, like, do not hold the second defense over those kind, because look at what just happened with Zach Moss.
I think even Jeff Wilson, I'd go as far as Dearness Johnson too. Like, he seems to be
Dearness
the number
Johnson's
two, links to a really good offense. If anything happened to ETN, I mean, he's already getting touches anyway, so maybe ETN's.
Would you put Jamal Williams on that list as bad as he's been this year?
Yeah, I think especially if I own Kamara. I think especially if I own Kamara, just in case, like, to kind of cover your bases there. Yeah, you don't want to be, I mean, Elijah Mitchell could be a league winner. If CMC went down this week, he'd be a league winner. That's it.
Could you imagine? No. People will lose their minds. A.T. Perry or Chris Godwin? We kind of didn't get to that one. I still go Godwin.
Godwin has been disappointing, but I'm playing him. Yeah.
There's another one. He's eventually been the Michael Thomas, Demario Douglas, like all
he's
the
getting
old
a ton
Jacoby
of
Myers.
Looks too, but he's just not converting on any of them. So I'm playing him, though. The volume seems to be there. Big game for the Bucks this week.
How about Samuel Pickens or Downs? Downs. I go down Samuel Pickens. No. If I'm shooting for upside, I would go Downs Pickens Samuel. But if I'm going for floor, it'd be Downs Samuel Pickens. It just
You could talk me into Samuel number two over Pickens in a full point PPR league.
Brett said Watson is Gabe Davis. That is 100% true. That's what I'm just saying the entire time. It's just like Gabe Davis. Like, people
it's not even
hate
good enough
Gabe
Davis
Gabe this
Davis
year.
Just yet, but
that
yeah,
is true. He's discount Gabe Davis.
Yeah.
Discount Davis. Like, it's just Davis, like Gabe Davis. This is the same thing we went through last year. If you drafted him, this is just who he is. This is not prime DeSean Jackson. This is right after prime DeSean Jackson, where you got eight mediocre games, four really good ones, and then four big old stinkers. Like, you just got to keep them out there.
If he's your wide receiver three, then whatever, right? Yeah, he's the highs and lows. He can win you a week, and you hope that the dud games, your top two wide receivers, the rest of your team has a decent floor. But yeah, he's hit or miss. Buffalo's going to have to figure out a wide receiver two next year. There'll be a lot of changes in Buffalo in the offseason.
Somebody likes your hoodie. It's trash. Burn it. We do not like the Eagles. Although I do like the Eagles letting me survive in Survivor. So there you go. There you go. Made me sweat it out. Made my stomach turn. Also,
told you,
I'm wearing a new hat, by the way. I'm going to put my new hat on at some point for that. It's not a Giants hat. I told you I'm done. So we're going to continue. A few more. Thank you, Rory. I'm actually going to see Rory tonight. He is in my married CG from church. So
nice.
Shout out to Rory. There you go.
Hey, Rory.
Would you go DeAndre Hopkins or Rashee Rice? I'm still going Hopkins.
I think I still have to go Hopkins too, but man, it's a talk about another boomer bust, right? The quarterback play is so bad, but I'll lean Nuke.
Okay. Oh, you know who somebody we didn't talk about? Lorna is a big crush on him. Shakir, hips don't lie. How excited for you than these usage? You just made the same face I made. It's like,
Didn't he have one catch?
Yeah, I love Shakir. I told the story about when I was at the combine. My heart goes out to the guy because nobody wanted to talk to him. And that immediately made me a fan of his, even though I already kind of liked him. And my pre-draft profile said he's a lesser version of Deebo Samuel because he can get work out of the backfield. They're not even using him as that, but they're using him in the passing game like Deebo Samuel. But here's the problem. The snaps, the targets, everything is third. It's just tough. He's not past Gabe. If he somehow, if the Bills finally said, you know what, we're done with Gabe Davis, you're going to be the third. You're going to be Nate Washington.
Yeah.
You know, then. Yeah. But at this point, I think Shakir is in the conversation of a Zay Jones.
Mm-hmm. He's may even be fourth because I've noticed more James Cook since Joe Brady's taken over, whether that's a few carries or just dump offs, a few catches. I know Lauren texts us and she's going to have to change her tune about James Cook. I went to right back immediately. Well, he's not doing anything between the tackles, but he is catching passes. So he's more involved since the OC switch. So I would say Shakir is maybe fourth behind Kincaid and company.
Yep, that's also true. You're not worried about Dawson Knox, are you? Coming back? I'm more worried about Zach Ertz than I am Dawson Knox because I'm worried about Zach Ertz taking snaps away to block, and it's just a snap issue. That's my concern there.
That's a good call.
Oh, look at this one. Singletary, Najee Harris, coming for your boy. Singletary doesn't deserve to be in the conversation with Najee Harris right now.
I would play.
Okay. DeAndre Swift a fade because of the 49ers defense? No. DeAndre Swift has been fine this year. What's the hate for DeAndre Swift?
I don't know. I wish the Eagles would use him more. Back-to-back games, it hardly gave him any carries in the first half, and then all of a sudden it's opened up their entire offense. So, yeah, he can bust one on one.
Would you play DeAndre Swift or Breece Hall?
Swift. Give me a link to a really good offense. Yeah, that's what it is.
I like Breece Hall, but yeah, I'm the same way.
They're not moving the ball.
And then I think we got kind of everybody. So, at Chris Meany, by the way, I think people are wondering about the Marvel stuff. I got Nicole. We're going back and watching stuff she's never seen. So we watched Hawkeye. Come for me all you want. Hawkeye's a fun show. People hate on it way too much. It's a fun Christmassy thing. You know what? For everybody that wants to say that Die Hard is a Christmas movie, which it's not, that's a Christmas show. Hawkeye's a Christmas show. I don't think it is. It's Christmas time. It's Christmas theme in the background. It's still Hawkeye. Nobody makes that argument, so there you go. If you say Die Hard, then you have to say Hawkeye. But still, fun show. It's not that serious. He actually makes him more likable, but, you know, anyway. But now we're watching Daredevil, the TV series, because she never saw that. Still one of the best things. I just sat there and I was watching. We're two episodes, three, four, five episodes, and I'm like, man, I forgot. This is this. I mean, I remembered how good it was, but I forgot, how good it was. It's just one of the best things ever done. And that hallway fight scene. Oh my gosh. I love being able to watch a show with somebody and you forgot a lot about it. So you're kind of getting refreshed.
And you get refreshed.
But also seeing somebody get to enjoy it for the first time too. But anyway, all that being said, at Chris Meany, at Only Kid for Myself, which as you know, and we will be back on Monday. Hopefully for some wins. If you're around on Saturday or want to listen on demand, SiriusXM 9 to 11 a.m. in the morning. That's it.
Should be a good one.
Oh, Joe Gambit, as we get out of here, the music, the opening theme for Daredevil, I have my new list for next week, my fun rankings, top 10 TV intros. Daredevil is inside the top 10. Daredevil is amazing. Westworld stole their idea from Daredevil for their intro. That's all I have to say. So anyway, Love you, Meanie. Thank those you for ranks. Birthday wishes.
Yay, have a good day, bye. Brother. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Peace.
Get me out of here, Will.